Now here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Paul McNamara joins me. Mr. McNamara, you're running for Congress in the 38th District, which is Santa Monica and Malibu. And welcome to our program.
Always a pleasure, Phil. Thank you.
Tell me about what it is. You are really going to be dealing with the rent control and rents, and this is applicable no matter where people live in America. Renters, how much they pay, how to deal with people who are not homeowners necessarily, and how they can deal with the situation themselves, right?
Right, Phil. We live in very dangerous times, and people need to appreciate what they have, and I don't see that, and that's why I am running for Congress.
Now, you're running to represent the congressional district that encompasses Santa Monica, Malibu.
That is correct. That's the 38th.
What business are you in?
I own rental property. I speculate in real estate, and that's it's a good question because no one knows better than me the pressures on property owners, especially those of us who own rental property. You're paying a lot in property tax. Dealing with renters can be a challenge.
Well, and property management, so on and so forth.
Well, not only that, but one of the properties that I own is an apartment complex about four blocks from the beach in Santa Monica. And I'll tell you, the people that live there are getting a great deal. It's a great deal. I'm happy for them. But at the same time, I'm sort of laughing through my tears because they're locked into their rents. And I mean, these places that I rent, that I charge, I say to myself, I almost resent it. You know, it feels like I'm getting royally tooled. But
well, what are the rents that you charge?
Well, they go from $2,000 to $3,500 a month, and it's a great price. I mean, a great price.
But you feel resentful?
I did, and then I decided that one of the ways I can ease the sting of the property tax and the low rent, and I think this addresses the problem of people not appreciating what they have. It also addresses the problem of the inherent problem of renters, and I'm not saying that people that rent are not good people and hardworking people, but they rent, which means they don't have the same respect for the property that the property owner has. They generally are going to come from a kind of an income tax bracket that is not as appreciative of property. And what I instituted about 6 months ago is something that hopefully every landlord will institute. What I do is, in exchange for the great low rent that my tenants pay for a great location, and the fact in truth they don't really care about me and my problems.
Well, how far are you? Is your apartment complex from the beach?
We're about 5-6 blocks.
So in Santa Monica, 6 blocks from the beach, you're paying $2,500 to $3,500 a month.
That is correct. And if you check around, that is a steal. Now, I've requested from time to time that my renters help me out, whether it is
how.
Well, I could be anything. I've got a gentleman who is one of our lower units with a patio and a barbecue. He's paying $2,500 a month, which is, honest to goodness, Phil, it's like stealing. And I've asked him if he could see to getting my car washed, or if he wants to, he can do it. One of my other tenants is this gal with a son who I suppose is on some kind of oxygen. I'm not familiar with the...
Is it cystic fibrosis? The kids have a problem breathing?
I believe that's it, yes. And the sea air is good for him, and she's getting this great rent. But again, what about me and the problems I'm dealing? I don't want this to be all about me, but she gets to have this great rent and live there, and I'm not getting anything. So I have suggested, for instance, that she can do my shirts. There is another elderly woman that I've suggested she come in and cook. It's very unusual, but it's a way of dealing, Phil, with a problem we've had for a long time. Renters who are getting away with paying very low rent in beautiful locations, and the person who owns the property is not exactly making the kind of dollar that he wants to make. So I've suggested that simple ways that we can all appreciate what we have, and ways we can help, in my case, the property tax.
All right, it's unusual. Are you campaigning on this?
Well, there's a variety of issues, obviously, Phil, but this is one of them, absolutely. And I think it's important to know that property owners, those of us who are landlords, are able to, if we are going to be manhandled this way in these rents, and we're not being able to charge us more rent, then we have to get something in return. And I think putting renters to work this way is a great way of all of us appreciating what we have.
All right, Paul McNamara joins me. He's running for Congress, the 38th Congressional District. He is suggesting that one of the ways that property owners and landlords can get around not being able to charge higher rents is that they have their tenants do odd jobs, things like that?
It is a way of helping the landlord, the property owner, which is me, help me maximize my dollar. If I cannot, I'm going to be paying out, Phil, for a $3 million piece of property, something like in the neighborhood of $25,000 in property tax. And how do I get that back? The renters, I think, can do these things. They can do them once a month in a rotating business, whether it is coming in and doing some cooking for me or taking my car in to get it serviced, even if it's something as simple as standing in line at the DMV.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. We're talking with Paul McNamara, congressional candidate, on renters, people that rent apartments or rent homes, and how they can help out the landlord or the property owner with the enormous property tax they're paying by, it sounds to me like, doing odd jobs. And let me ask something, Paul. How's doing odd jobs for the landlord?
Primarily for the property owner, yes. This is not to necessarily, you know, they're not working for nothing. They're working for the property owner who is getting absolutely axed by Uncle Sam. I mean, it's as if Uncle Sam... I saw a film the other night. I enjoyed it. I didn't enjoy it for the wrong reasons. I think it's an interesting Texas Chainsaw Massacre. I don't know if you saw that or not.
Yeah, I did.
It's almost as if the federal government is taking a chainsaw right to my face, and I can't live this way. And so,
well, look at how specifically, Paul, does this help with the property tax that you pay?
Yeah, well, as I mentioned, I pay $23,000 on a $3 million property. That's a pretty steep number. So if I can get my tenants to pitch in and help out, it decreases not so much the money I pay, but it decreases the aggravation of everyday life, getting shirts done and this, so on and so forth.
But you're having renters do this. You say because they aren't paying enough in rent?
Well, beyond that, this is something that if I'm fortunate enough to be elected in the 38th Congressional District race, I can propose that renters begin to pay their share and begin to conduct themselves in a manner that's more like one who has ownership of the property.
Well, this is aimed at dealing with renters. And isn't this kind of a traditional view that renters are, I don't want to use the word scum, but isn't that the attitude?
Well, I'm not using that word either, Phil.
No, I'm not saying that you are, but that renters are somehow of a lower class?
No, I wouldn't even say that. I would say that renters do not understand money the way those of us who are property owners do. And renters have traditionally, on average, paid lower rent than they should. Renters, because they do not own, are high risk. They don't generally leave the property in the best condition. They lack a sense of responsibility. And by having them do different chores around the apartment complex...
Would this be a daily thing?
Well, it could be weekly. For instance, Tuesday could be... You know, if you were one of my tenants, Tuesday could be your day to clean the pool. The way I do it, because most of my renters are elderly, we have them on a weekly rotation, cooking my meals, getting my shirts done, grocery pickup, picking up meat at the butcher shop. I've got a dog that needs to be walked.
You're going to get some argument that this isn't appropriate, especially for elderly tenants. You've got elderly tenants coming in and doing, you know, your shirts.
Well, Phil, that's why I'm running for Congress.
But you know what I'm saying? Like, it's something that elderly folks who are retired and on a fixed income...
Well, I think it helps them, though. If you take the average elderly renter in the United States who is on a fixed income, and you don't necessarily want to raise the rent on that person, because I am as much a liberal, I guess, Phil, when it comes to that kind of thing as anybody... But I'm not going to just sit there and take it.
Well, when you say sit there and take it, it's the federal government that's taxing you. It's the state, actually, that's taxing you.
Well, but again, someone is going to have to step up to the plate. And if I can get one of my tenants, one of the older people who can take in some washing or something, this helps me out immensely. I've got an accountant in my area. We can do some books for me. The elderly people don't scrub... I tell you what they can do. I have a yacht. It's not a yacht, but it's a sailboat, and it does get a little bit of barnacle crustacean on the bottom of it. If I can get one of these folks to go down and scrub it off the bottom of the boat, that would be great. But I don't have them do that. I leave that job for professionals, so it's not like I'm asking them.
Well, I don't see how an elderly man is going to go down under a boat and scrub barnacles off of it.
I'm not saying that he's doing that. But I'm saying it would be nice because it costs an awful lot. But I relish a fight, Phil. That's why I'm running for Congress, and I look forward to the fight, and the issue is important. When are we going to stop renters? And many of them are great people, but when are we going to stop renters getting away with murder?
Paul McNamara joins me. He's talking about renters and how they are not paying as much in rent as they should. As a matter of fact, he owns an apartment complex four blocks from the beach, charging $2,500 to $3,500 a month. I should have asked him how many bedrooms that represents. But it is his feeling that rather than jack the rent on a lot of renters, because some of them are on fixed income, some of them are on, what do they call it, Janice, rent limits or rent control, that he would have his tenants do different jobs. He mentioned doing his shirts, taking his car to the mechanic, standing in line at the DMV, picking up his dry cleaning, this kind of thing. And this idea that he also owns some kind of a sailboat, which gets barnacles on the bottom of it. And it was his idea to have one of the people scrub the barnacles off the bottom of his boat. But most of these are elderly people. Is it time for renters to start to kick in and pay their fair share, or are they not paying their fair share, or are they? 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. When the truth just isn't enough. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Rent control and whether or not it should exist. Rents, are they too little? And are people who own property, are landlords getting screwed? Paul McNamara is with us. And I'm not using language that you would use, Paul.
I don't think being screwed is the way to say it, Phil. I think renters are... They don't know the damage they're doing, really. I think they... Because they rent, don't have a real conception of property and property tax. I think they just, in many ways, people who rent are like gypsies. But let me move on to the what we're excited about. For renters to do different jobs around the apartment complex, it means that they are working off the good rent that they're getting, and they're helping out their landlord.
You're not giving them a rent break?
I wouldn't give them a rent break. They're already getting a rent break. The rent that they're paying is good rent. It's not difficult for... I've got a woman in Tracy, it's one of my apartments here, who is... She picks up my girlfriend's dry cleaning once a week. A gentleman over in one of our D complexes, armor all the leather seats. I've got a beautiful Porsche that he will armor all the seats for me. There's an elderly couple in I-3 who shampoo the hall carpets. We've got a young man on the little boy who has the fibrosis that you were talking about.
Cystic fibrosis?
He is absolutely, he's thrilled to pick the, he works and gets the gum off the front steps. All of this together means that renters are finally going to begin to pull their weight, I guess, more than anything else.
This can't possibly endear you to renters.
Oh, I don't think they've got a problem with it at all. I think they're real, no, they understand. Well, it doesn't matter whether it endears me to them or not, to answer your question. I'm the one that has Uncle Sam coming to the door every year, and he's got a smile on his face and he's got a bottle of Lubriderm.
1-800-449-8686. Here is Tanya. Tanya, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi.
Yes, Tanya.
I was just listening on the radio and everything, and I understand that this man is running for congressman and all this kind of stuff. I would just like to say that I think that this man is a most selfish person, first of all, because the elderly, they've already put in this time. They don't need to have to do your chores to help you out. Apparently you have plenty of money, and you've got a yacht and all this kind of stuff. So why are you making older people, have to work your chores and do all this kind of stuff? I think that
it's
is so unfair of you.
It's a good question.
Paul,
what do you say to that?
It makes me so mad. I would really like to say more than I'm saying right now on the radio.
All right, Paul, what do you say to that?
Well, let me just step in, Tanya, and say, don't be swayed, Tanya. I know I'm like you. I start to feel sorry for a lot of these elderly people, but believe me, they've got the last nickel that they ever, they got the first nickel they ever made. And we like to say they got the short arms and the deep pockets. Don't feel too sorry for a lot of these people. They pretend like they're eating cat food and this kind of thing, and who knows, late at night, you know, 2 a.m.
No. Let me interrupt you, first
yes,
of all.
Yes, ma'am.
You are a very selfish person. Okay?
No, ma'am.
If
I am
need,
trying to
if
make...
If you need to have elderly people that are trying every... that is on a fixed income, okay? My mother is on a fixed income right now, and she can't even get...
A lot of them say
she
they are.
She has to pay $150 for one little bottle of medicine.
Well, that's
what
they
say. And here you are. You're wanting these people to do your chores for you? What kind of person are you?
No, ma'am, but here's the
thing. There is no way
when
I would ever vote on you.
If they say they're on a fixed income,
I know these people are on fixed income.
Look, if you rented one of my apartments, I can tell you, if you wanted to stay... What I would want you to do
is... I wouldn't rent from you.
All right, but let's forget about you.
I won't even vote for you.
Well, ma'am, I'm in the 38th Congressional District. I'd like you to consider my candidacy, because if, for instance, you rented for me, or let's say your mother did, it's not a difficult thing to pick leaves off the roof in the eaves. You can do it. It takes 5 minutes.
Now, are you saying you have this woman's mother picking leaves?
Are you kidding me? These are elderly people. You know, you've got enough money, apparently, that you're fine, okay? Why don't you get off your lazy butt and you get out there and pick up the leaves and you pick up the gum off the porches and you do all that kind of stuff? They've already did their due.
I've done all these jobs. What I'm saying is the state of California is taking more than a fair share of property tax from me. How do I make up for that? If I can get a little boy who is a beautiful little boy and I ask him to scrape the gum off the steps, or, you know...
You're not talking about little boys. You're talking about elderly people.
Yes.
Okay?
These elderly people,
they are on fixed incomes. And I'm telling you right now, they can't even afford their medicine.
I think a lot of them...
Congressmen are people that want to be congressmen like you.
Ma'am, no, you're wrong. I think a lot of these people, they fake
you,
eating cat
if
food.
If you want to do something for elderly people...
Well, I want to jump in. Hold on for a minute.
Give them where they can get Medicaid and sick care and have their prescription gave to them.
I tie your mother to a safety rope. She would not be in any danger. We get her to scrape the leaves out of the gutters, and
you
it's
know what?
Over
my
in
mother
minutes.
Is in a wheelchair right now. She can't even go to the bathroom without wheeling herself to the bathroom.
That's what she wants you to believe. Yes, that's what she wants you to believe.
And she is on a fixed income.
Wait a minute. Are you saying
and
that
she
this?
She can't even afford her medicine right now.
We can hoist her up with pulleys.
Well, wait a minute. I want to find out. Are you saying?
If somebody voted on you, they'd be crazy as hell.
Ma'am, I can tell you right now that a lot of these elderly people fake it. Are you sure she can't walk?
You know what?
Are you sure she can't walk?
You are such a bogus person.
Well, if I'm bogus, I can tell you this much: your grandmother, your mother, whoever you're speaking of, needs to be checked out so that she's not manipulating her younger people into feeling sorry for her. So this is what I stand for. I'm standing against these elderly people that are faking it. All right?
You know what?
They pretend like they're eating cat food that's probably tuna. Who knows? They pretend like they're crippled and they're doing cartwheels. If anybody voted on you to be congressman, they would be out of their mind. I hope you consider my candidacy at 38th Congressional
District. There is no way I consider you. Actually,
ma'am, I appreciate you talking to me.
Actually, you know what I'm inclined to do?
What's that?
I'm inclined to go on a campaign to tell people how ignorant you
are.
Well,
I'm... You call me ignorant, but you believe your mother's crippled, okay?
All right, Tanya, thank you. I just lost her. Are you saying the old people...
You hear a lot of these elderly people say I'm on a fixed income, okay? You hear a lot of elderly people say they can't do this, they can't do that. I think a lot of them are faking it to get our sympathy. When we put them to work in our apartment complex, I got a gentleman who's 83 years of age, and I said to him, I said, Harley, I want you, if you wouldn't mind, I'd like you to do some painting around here. Because you know and I know that you're not eating cat. You're pretending like you're eating out of a sheep again.
1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Kittens are tasty. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Paul McNamara joins us. talking about his congressional run, his congressional run in the 38th district. You are saying that renters need to do more because they're not paying fair rent. The landlords are getting screwed.
Well, again, Phil, I don't want to use the word screwed, but I will tell you that we're not making, I think, the fair monies we should. The state of California has taken out of us. The federal government's taken out of us. And the idea of doing this kind of work fair where renters can do some odd jobs around the apartment complex.
Well, you're talking about elderly people.
Well, I'm talking about many of our elderly who, I'm not saying all of our elderly are like this, but many of them are individuals who want to get your sympathy. I'm on a fixed income, and I can tell you right now, and this idea that, you know, they're supping from a can of Calcan, this is ridiculous. And
well, hold on for a minute. I've got Lloyd calling in, who is a senior citizen. Lloyd, you living on a fixed income?
No, sir, I'm not. I am a Korean War veteran, and I'm retired. I live on my own pension, but I wanted to direct my comments to this Mr. McNamara, if I could.
Yes, sir.
I don't know, sir, if you've ever seen a fellow vet, and I don't know if you served in the United States military or not.
No, sir, it was not my honor.
All right, well, it was my great honor. And I don't know if you know what it's like to see a dear friend of yours answer the door wearing with a napkin.
Are you okay, sir?
No, sir, I'm not.
Well, sir,
I want to finish what I'm saying. A fellow veteran of mine, Cal Jenkins, who was on the Enterprise with me, answered the door one day with a napkin in his collar, and he had a can of tender vittles with a fork, and he's looking at me like, oh, hi, Lloyd, how are you? In other words, he didn't even know that what he was doing was an abomination. And if you could check the protein value on tender vittles as opposed to Sheba, you could...
Well, are you saying your friend should have been eating Sheba?
No, sir, I am not. But I'm saying that the situation money-wise was so...
Well, I'd like to jump in here, Phil, if I could.
No, sir, I want to make my point.
No, I'd like to jump in. You say your friend was eating tender vittles. I don't know the nutritional... All I'm saying is a lot of these elderly are faking it.
Well, I'll tell you, he wasn't faking it because that was a can of... Oh, man, if I could come over there right now, I'd make you eat tender vittles right out of my you-know-what. Just as if it was a chip bowl. And I'll tell you...
Well, is the caller there?
Yes, I'm here. But I'm so upset, Mr. Henry.
Well, look, the idea of seniors having to eat cat food is absolutely a tragedy. Of the proportions of which I can't even comment on that. And you're certainly right. We need to be able to help those people.
And I am proposing to help them, Phil. I am proposing. I am asking them to clean leaves out of the gutter, do some painting, and lay tile in my bathroom.
But you're not giving them a break on the rent. They're laying tile in the bathroom.
But they get to live here. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, I get it. So you're saying that because they can live there... Then they've got to scrape this. I suppose they've got to go into your toilet and wipe it to wipe the bowl down. Is that it? Right after you've been to Mexico, I think you know what I'm talking about because it gets the little splash marks. And
what happened?
It sounds like he slipped. I think he slipped or something.
Hello, is the caller there?
Oh, sweet God! Don't let me die now. I've got more to say to this piece of crap.
Is the caller there? Are you there, sir?
Let me tell you something right now. I'd take kibbles and bits over tender vittles any day. I went down. He said, Carl, you hold on. I'm getting you kibbles and bits. And
then oh, sweet God.
What the hell?
Mr. Henry, can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Is this some kind of a comedy show that I'm on? Because, you know...
Well, it sounds like it, doesn't it?
Well, because that man doesn't sound real to me. He's falling down the stairs twice. He's saying that, hey, why don't you get some kibbles and bits instead of tender vittles? I'm saying, Mr. Henry, that I don't believe average senior citizens are getting up in the middle of the night and saying, well, I think I'll go down and grab a snack. Ah, look, Sheba gourmet tuna. It ain't happening. And I'll...
You what, Mr. McNamara? I almost cried when I said goodbye to Carl, and all he could say was meow. And then
oh, God.
You know what?
Don't hang up on me. I'm not doing shtick.
No, get out of here. All of you guys suck. 10 minutes out of cat food. We got 10 minutes worth of material out of old people eating cat food. Tender Vittles, Sheba, and Kibbles and Bits. 1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Henry Show will be right back.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Pure exhibitionism. The Phil Henry Show is back. Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
I wish this gentleman would get his story straight. I mean,
What have I said, ma'am, that has not been true?
Sir, you said that your wife passed away 2 years. People are trying to give you help, and you're asking them, the attorney, what religion he is? Does that make any sense? And you're
going to
ask your wife what she thinks? I thought she had passed away 2 years ago.
Yes, she did.
So who are you going to ask? The Holy
Ghost?
Because
when I pray at night, I talk to her.
And oh, for crying out loud. And you need money for $150 to buy your son sneakers when you have a sick child? You know, my husband and I are driving and listening to the show, and we listened to you, and we were saying, oh, poor guy. You know, we have kids.
You have $150 sneakers you need for your son, John, or I forget, is his name Paul?
My son is...
He should get the name straight. That's another thing. He can't get the kid's name straight.
Ma'am, I know my children... like I know every hair on my head, as the Lord said in the Bible. And my
You know what? Maybe you should read the Bible
John.
Over again, because I think you're kind of confused.
No, ma'am.
I think what's most important, what's more important than your kid's health? A pair of shoes for your son?
My son will have to go to school.
They're offering you $20, and you're saying you're asking the girl
shoes.
To borrow money from her parents when she's trying to offer you what
my
she can afford?
My son has a club foot and needs those shoes.
I'm sorry. You don't need $150 pair of sneakers. Because your son needs those shoes. Give me medication.
Oh, so all of a sudden you're a doctor now.
I'm trying to give you help.
My son plays basketball and needs the shoes so he can get a scholarship.
That's an excuse. He can get any pair of shoes. They don't have to be Nike Airs. I have two kids of my own.
Rita, you made a point. Rita, you need to turn the radio down too, Rita, okay? I need to make a point. Did you say your wife is dead?
Yes. No, I didn't.
He mentioned his wife was dead.
I said, no, she is not dead. I said, yes. She is not dead, is what I said.
You said what?
I said, yes, she's not dead.
But you mentioned earlier in the show that your wife had passed away 2 years ago. That's why I'm saying you should get your story straight.
Ma'am, my wife did pass away. I speak to her in prayer.
Okay, but you also said she's been at B of A looking to get a loan on your home equity.
Exactly.
In my wife told me in my prayers that she had been to B of A.
Look, buddy, I think you should
today
get your story straight. We're going through hard times. Everybody's going through hard times. Me personally, I have a lot of problems, and I don't call the radio making a scene like you
no,
are.
No, ma'am,
if
I'm not
really
making a
scene. If you really have a sick child, then maybe
money.
You should get your story straight.
I don't want
$20
money.
$20 is not going to help. What happens if 150 people call offering you $20? You're going to turn them down?
Ma'am, can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Are you going to call up and yell, or do you have money? Or
no,
what,
it's
what
just that
point?
You should get your story straight, because if you really need the help and you have a sick child, I'm sure half of the world will be willing to help. But
because
you're asking this girl who's willing to give you $20 of her hard-earned money borrow money from her parents because $20 is not enough for you?
That's all I said. I said if you could get me another $10, that's all I said.
But don't you think that's kind of ridiculous that she's offering her help?
Well, that's a good
point. She's been unemployed also.
This lady was unemployed. This girl was unemployed. She offered you $20 of her money that she didn't have a job.
Well, can I make a suggestion? This lady that I'm talking to now could give me $20, and that girl could call back with another $10.
Well, how about you going out and getting a job like I'm working? I'm a very hard-working person.
Because
I just
lost my job. I just lost my job. My daughter.
You know how many people out there have lost your job? Maybe if you would have been honest enough and said the truth when you got a radio station.
I'm telling the truth.
Your story doesn't seem to be.
Why did you say your wife passed away 2 years? Why did you say your wife passed away 2 years ago?
My wife passed a kidney stone 2 years ago, which put her in the hospital. If that's what you confused what I said with, okay.
You said your wife passed a kidney stone?
That's what I said, yes.
You said your daughter had leukemia, then you said she had a brain tumor, then you said she had something else. You're not getting your story. It's not very... I don't know.
I don't mean to insult you, but could I ask you a question?
I don't feel insulted. If I was the girl that called offering you the $20, I would feel insulted.
Well, are you going to donate or what? I mean, are you just going to talk me to death? Because
The lady is offering some points that I think need to be made here, Don. We feel for you and for your plight.
I appreciate that, but she's like,
I mean, I'm going to get blown over by the wind here.
No, it's just that I'm riding home with my kids and my husband.
Yes, ma'am.
And we're listening to your story because we have kids of our own.
Okay.
And I'm telling my husband, wow, honey, you know, we're going through hard times, but this guy's really going through really hard times.
And maybe I am.
We can offer him help.
Yes,
but
ma'am.
Then I hear you changing your story every 2 seconds, and you know what? It just doesn't cut it for
my
me.
Daughter,
I work very hard for my money.
All right, I want to ask you a question. What is the name of your daughter?
Claire.
Which, the daughter who has leukemia?
Now you have me confused, okay?
How can you get confused when it comes to your kid's name? See, it's very hard to believe your story.
My daughter's name is Samantha.
All right. What disease does she have, sir?
She has a brain tumor.
Then why did you say she had leukemia?
If I did, I was confusing it with a brain tumor. That's all.
Do you know what leukemia is, sir?
I thought it was a brain tumor. I'm sorry, sir.
Leukemia is a blood. It's the cancer of the blood.
All right, sir.
You thought leukemia was a brain tumor?
Yes, I did.
Now, okay.
How old is your daughter?
My daughter is. She's 22.
22? She was 9 a little while ago. Wasn't she, or maybe I'm listening to it wrong?
No,
radio
ma'am. Station. No, you misheard it. She's 22.
No, I heard 9, too. I heard 9.
You have a 4-year-old. You have a 7-
well,
or 6-year-old and a 9-year-old.
You told,
now
you
she's 22?
No, you also said that you thought she passed away, and I said she passed a kidney stone.
You know,
I just
get a story straight here.
Ma'am,
I'm not
my
crazy,
story is straight.
He is.
All right, but have you got how much? Do you have any money you're going to give me?
No, buddy, you want money for
okay.
a job like
my,
I'm working.
My doctor,
you know what? You're using these
Rita,
people on the radio stations
no,
to make
ma'am.
A profit out of
no,
them.
No, ma'am. Ma'am, could I tell you something? I have.
Yeah, go ahead. You can tell me anything you want.
I have a doctor who I respect very much. He's a Cuban doctor, but he has a very thick accent. He has a very. Ma'am, are you there?
Yeah, I'm listening.
All right, he has a really thick accent.
And
so when he says brain tumor, I thought he said leukemia. And if that...
Oh, for crying out loud. There's a big difference between a brain tumor and leukemia. I mean,
I
don't know what school you went to,
yes, ma'am.
But...
No, yes, ma'am, but he has
no,
a thick...
No, I'm Cuban. I'm Cuban, and
okay.
I have an accent.
Well, you
and
you
there's
speak
a big
very
difference
well.
Between...
No, you speak very well, but my doctor...
There's a big
is...
difference between a brain tumor...
Yeah,
and leukemia.
Wait a minute. Your doctor is Cuban. He has a thick Spanish accent.
Yes, sir. And he said... You know, I can't say it the way he says it because I can't do it, but he said, you know, Claire has leukemia, and I thought he said Samantha had a brain tumor.
Even if he said it in Spanish, from leucemia.
Wait a second.
Un tumor en el cerebro is very different.
That's exactly what he just said. That's exactly what he said.
Okay, well,
okay,
it's really...
that's exactly what he said.
Wait
okay.
a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. You took your daughters in for physicals.
Yes, sir.
To a Cuban doctor that does not speak English.
No, ma'am, I never said that. I said he speaks English with a very thick accent, ma'am.
So you're just saying I told you in Spanish what the diagnoses were in Spanish, and you said that's exactly what he said.
Yeah,
so
because I don't know what he said.
Obviously, your doctor doesn't speak any English.
He came out, and he said, Samantha has a brain tumor, and you thought it meant Claire has leukemia.
So
or something
Claire?
Like that, yeah. I'm sorry, ma'am?
Who's Claire?
That's my daughter.
I thought your daughter's name was Samantha.
Yes, one of them. I have... Three daughters, one
oh,
Samantha.
Oh, now it's three daughters. I thought you had two daughters and a boy.
I have two daughters and a boy. My son is, and I this is tough for me to admit, my son's effeminate sometimes.
Oh
come
you
on.
Know what?
Wait
you
a
know
minute,
what?
Man.
You're sick.
No, ma'am. All I'm saying...
Come on, pal. What do you mean your son's effeminate?
Yeah, he's going to say that his son's effeminate.
Ma'am,
child.
No, ma'am, I did not say I said sometimes he is
a... Oh, he's a feminist. What's the difference?
Well, my daughter Carly had a brain tumor. My daughter Amanda has leukemia.
And now your son's a f***. Now he goes by the name of Claire.
Bill Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
This lady, I honestly believe she needs some serious psychiatric help. I don't know why
she's still walking the street. Because I'm against war.
You should be in jail for child abuse is what you should be.
You know,
I have a child myself. I have not seen her. I can understand your loss for your son. I have a daughter myself who I have not seen in approximately 5 years because the mother took off to another province.
Well, maybe. Well, if there wasn't a restraining order on you.
There is no restraining order on me.
The man's wife took off with his kid.
Well,
she kidnapped my daughter.
Let me
and
say this,
for
Chris.
You to say that you know what's better for our children, I guess because you lost a son, you know better than anybody does. Well, what about the 3,000 people that were killed in the buildings that were in New York City during the World Trade Center when the planes flew into it? You're against war on Iraq. There's a lot of people against the war. But quite honestly, I'm for the war. Would you rather have these flying more planes into buildings, killing 3,000 or 4,000 more people than women, children,
and fathers? I am trying to help our children. I'm trying to help our children. And I don't think it's child abuse.
And you think our armed forces is not trying to help our children or help our society by stopping Iraq from even attempting to attack us?
Wait a second. Why can't you find... Did you say it's your daughter that you can't find?
I don't even know where she is.
Well, have you looked?
What is that, a smart comment?
Over and over and over.
I don't think you've looked hard enough.
Well, I have. I'm still searching. I haven't stopped the search. I've got my name all over the internet, but that's irrelevant.
Good
for you, Chris. The point that I'm trying to make here...
Work in the circus?
Pardon? No, I do not.
Okay.
Go ahead, Chris.
I just... My plain out simple comment is
right.
I believe in what they're doing in Iraq.
Yes,
I have
sir.
No problem with the war on them.
Yes, sir.
Some things need to be done.
Right. Yes, sir.
Well, you know something, Chris? I think I know better than you. You see...
Well, I don't think you do. I think the 3,000 people, the innocent children and women and fathers that were killed in the World Trade Center attacks know better than you do.
The who?
The 3,000 people that were killed in the World Trade Center attacks. I think they would know a lot better than you do.
Sir, I just found out, are you from Canada?
Yes, I am.
Yes, sir. Well, there's only 200 or 300 people in Canada. Why can't you find your kid?
There's...
Hello? Lady, you are unreal.
Well, I'm sorry. How many people are in Canada?
There's more than 300. There's like 30 million people, isn't there, Chris?
Yes, there is.
25
yes.
million?
As far as land-wise goes, Canada happens to be the largest country in North America,
then
or the world, for
right.
that matter.
Well, but still, my understanding was there was only 300.
There's millions. Millions. And the man's looking for his daughter, and his wife took off with his daughter. I feel terrible for you, sir.
But most of the people that live there are Eskimo, and they don't care.
I come from a... I have a family. My uncle was killed by a drunk driver in a car accident, so I know what it's like to lose
yeah,
a loved one to
I
a
know.
Car accident. I also have my entire family that's in the armed...
Was it an Eskimo? Was it
they
an
come
Eskimo?
From a long line in the armed forces.
Cool.
And I'm quite proud of them putting their life on the line to give me my rights and my freedom.
Well, that's my father was in the Canadian Army, Chris.
Was your uncle an Eskimo is what I'm trying to find out.
What do you mean,
no,
was your uncle an Eskimo?
What kind of... I don't even understand these questions. You can't even rationalize what you're saying.
No, I'm trying to understand what it is you are... Are you native?
No, I'm not.
All right.
You mean Indian?
Yeah.
She means an Indian. That's what they call them in Canada.
That's fine.
Were you hit by a moose? What happened?
What happened was I went to school, I got educated, and I have an intelligence level that knows that there is a lesser of all evil.
Can I ask you something, Chris? Your uncle died from a drunk driver, correct?
Yes, he did.
Was the man who killed him an Eskimo in a Cadillac Escalade?
No, he was not.
Okay, thank you.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Extremism. And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
It was 1 year ago, last week actually, that we had Ms. Bobby Dooley from Western Estates Homeowners Association on our program. She'd lost her son in a drunk driving accident, and we wanted to have you on and talk about your feelings losing kids to this kind of tragedy. It's not easy. It happens to every generation. And I suppose the first question would be is, how are you holding up?
Not thinking about Dylan, and of course, on Thursday it was the anniversary of our losing him, and all day, of course, I was just so low. And I was turning out of actually the Sherman Oaks Fashion Center on Ventura Boulevard, and the woman in a red Mercedes convertible was in the right turn lane. She didn't have any turn signal on, and I'm thinking, she's going straight, but instead she turns when the light turns green right in front of me. And then she takes off down Ventura, and when that happened, it was almost as if God was speaking to me, because I was thinking so much of Dylan, and at that moment it was as if God was saying, look around you at the world. at how ignorant people can be. And
that's an interesting observation.
Yeah, so I followed her. I turned down Ventura and I followed her.
You followed her? The woman that was, that she didn't have a signal on, and then she turned even without the signal?
Yes, and she turns into Gelson's. And I followed her into the lot, and she parks, and all the while, I don't think she's paying one bit of attention to me. And all I could do is, I was thinking of my son Dylan, so I parked my car a couple of rows over. Now, this woman, while I was thinking of my son who had died, my son died, Phil. No one should ever bury a child.
I understand that.
So I had on me a Swiss Army knife, a little red Swiss Army knife that Dylan had given me for Mother's Day when he was 8 years old. And I took it out of my purse, and I went up to her car, and I started right around the front right panel, and I just dragged the blade across the door.
Oh, boy.
Now, listen to me. I dragged the blade across the door, the rear panel, along the upper side of the trunk, down along the left rear panel. I even did a couple of little loop-de-loops, and then along the driver's door, and I finished on the hood.
So what you're telling me is you were thinking, where you must have been angry about your son.
You know something, Phil?
I mean, you keyed this woman's car, this Mercedes?
She was so unconscious and so insensitive and so self-absorbed and ambivalent that she's turning right without a signal in front of me and then just driving along. Now, 2 hours later, my youngest boy answers the door, Seth. Two Los Angeles police officers are there.
Okay, so someone saw you, huh?
Well, I could feel my heart race. My husband answered the door. Long story short, they're going to take me to Van Nuys Division.
You were arrested.
She saw me do it from the Gelsons. I explained to the police that it's the anniversary of my son's death, and they still had to book me. They took fingerprints and a picture. And I've been told that we have a court date. Now, our attorney, who's worked with several celebrities, tells me that I could get community service. And I asked him what that was. He says it's picking up garbage on a freeway and washing police cars. And, of course, I almost blacked out when I'm listening to this. And my husband says that she's the mother of three boys. She's the president of our homeowners association. She's the president of our PTO. And this attorney tells Steve, well, that may be the case, but she may still have to do community service.
Well, let me interrupt you, Ms. Dooley. You drag a Swiss Army knife blade along the paint of a woman's Mercedes.
She was this blonde with the candy apple red Mercedes convertible. She's some 20-something, stick-thin, surgically enhanced, you know, B-word, excuse my language. And on the day, a year later, that my boy died, she's running around not signaling.
But the point is you broke the law.
Well, community service means you're in an orange jumpsuit on the freeway picking up garbage, and that's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. And I've written a letter to the judge.
No. Well, hold on for a minute, Bobby. The tragedy of your son's death fully realized in me and anybody that heard about it. But you drag a knife along.
I'm not getting into an orange jumpsuit as if I'm some alcoholic DUI or a gangster from one of these gangs. I keyed the Mercedes. I didn't key someone's Chevrolet. It wasn't someone's Ford. I didn't key a Buick. I keyed a Mercedes. That's a car that is begging for it. And
well, you can't say that either, because you got a lot of people out there who have Mercedes Benzes. And it's not that I'm not sensitive to your loss, but
if the driver had done something so inexcusable, look, Phil, people who drive Mercedes who are that age, 20-something, they haven't really worked for that car. A sugar daddy bought it, or a husband.
Well, I don't know that you can say that. Okay.
Well, I did write this letter to the judge.
Well, hold on for a minute. I'm going to give our phone number out. You know, to say that we're talking about the death of your son, that you purposefully keyed someone's car. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Bobby Dooley is with us.
You remember the day that my son died, correct?
Yes, I do.
You remember what that did to my family?
Yes, I do.
And you are going to sit there and judge me because I keyed, and excuse my language, I keyed some car.
Look, I know losing your son was a bad thing, okay?
I keyed some car, and you're judging me.
I'm not judging you. I'm saying it's difficult for me to support someone who breaks the law.
And how did I break the law?
It's called vandalism. It's called the damaging of public property.
Well, you know as well as I do that the law can certainly show mercy. And there is a thing called justice and mercy. And I think any judge would look at what I did and say, you know what, it's understandable. You were upset about your son. This B word did what she did.
Well, you know something, you're talking about her. She turned right without signaling. I don't know, you know.
This is an unconscious act of another motorist that is going to get somebody killed.
All right, well, read, what is the letter that you wrote to the court? Our number 1-800-449-8686. You have written a letter to the court to request leniency in this case.
Yes, I have.
Go ahead.
This is to the municipal court in the Van Nuys Division. Dear sir, my son Dylan was taken from me by a drunk driver a year ago this month. The court has my arrest record before it and the police record of my actions. I ask the court to consider that I am a mother of three boys, I'm a wife, an active member in my community, and that if the court sees fit to remand me into community service, I will be humiliated before the eyes of my friends, neighbors, and peers. I ask the court to realize that should my punishment include community service, the court will be very, 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 very sorry and will be making a very serious mistake. I ask the court to consider that my father, Robert Marchetti, is a member of the Judicial Review Board. Thank you, Bobby Dooley.
All right, I don't think that's a good idea.
Why?
I don't think threatening the court...
I am not threatening the court.
Well, you're saying it's going to be a very, very, very bad idea and that your father's with the Judicial Review Board.
It's going to be a very bad idea. I'm stating the obvious.
You're stating the obvious of what? That if the court sees fit to give you community service for running your, not a key, a Swiss Army knife along the paint of a Mercedes-Benz that had somehow made a mistake in traffic, that they're going to see fit to give you leniency in this case?
Absolutely. I'm stating the obvious. I'm saying if they find me guilty and give me community service, they're going to wish that they hadn't got out of bed that morning. And
see, that's a threat.
No, it isn't.
How do you think that's a threat, Mr. Henry?
It sounds like a threat to me.
It is not a threat. It is stating the very obvious. They will be sorry.
Why will they be sorry if they give you community service and they put you in an orange jumpsuit?
Because, Phil, it will be a very serious mistake. I'm the president of our homeowners association. I'm the president of our PTO. My son died.
We lost our son, Mr. Henry.
Mr. Dooley, there is no one more conscious of that than me. I had you on the air the day that it happened.
I think you'd have more sensitivity.
I just think it sounds like a threat.
What part sounds like a threat?
You're going to be very, 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 very sorry, and I ask you to consider that my father, Robert Marchetti, is a member of the Judicial Review Board.
Phil, when a...
Please don't call that motorist...
She's a blonde with a candy apple red Mercedes. What do you call that?
I don't know what you call. You don't call her a...
Excuse me, when a... makes a right turn without a signal in front of me, and then speeds off into her Gelson's parking lot as if she doesn't even know I exist and doesn't know that my son died. Guess what? Out comes the Swiss Army. Dylan gave me that Swiss Army knife for a reason. He was my youngest. He was my baby.
You think your boy gave you that Swiss Army knife so you could drag it along the paint of someone's Mercedes?
I think that... in his little mind, yeah, mommy would need it someday for that, yeah.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. A bereaved mother on the anniversary of a son's death, an impulse to key, or in her case, run a Swiss Army knife along someone's Mercedes-Benz, and an inevitable arrest by the Los Angeles police. It all comes down to her feeling she's entitled to leniency and that the woman deserved it. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
I do the splits over an egg, then I do a somersault into an open watermelon.
1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
You know, losing a son is a terrible thing. In the case of my guest, Bobby Dooley, losing your son a year ago prompted you to remember him today, and not today, but last week, and key someone's car.
Can I interrupt you, Phil?
Yeah.
I really don't appreciate you saying losing a son is a terrible thing.
Why?
Because you've never lost a son, so you don't really know what it's like. And
Ms. Dooley, I'm showing you a little bit of empathy here. I have four children.
But you haven't lost any of them, so please don't. You know, I know you mean well, but you don't understand that I had a full right. I would have had a full right to take an acetylene torch to that woman's car.
And you had a right to take an acetylene torch to someone's car because she didn't signal on a right-hand turn?
My son died.
Our son died.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Lori, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Bobby and Steve Dooley is my guests. Lori?
Yes, hey, how are you doing?
Fine, ma'am.
You know, I've been in the same situation with a child losing a 10-year-old to a medical ailment. But, you know, before he died, he gave me a rock painted in the shape of a heart. That doesn't give me the right, when I'm angry and see a healthy child or someone angers me, to take that rock and use it to vandalize someone or hurt someone else. Just because you lose a child, that doesn't give you the right to do that.
Well, but it was different for me because you lost your child to a medical. My child was killed in a drunk driving accident. He was healthy, in other words.
And I understand that, but...
Wait a minute. How does that... I don't understand.
It's still losing a child, man. The circumstances
don't
matter.
Her child, if she'd taken better care of her child.
Who?
No. My child, he had a congenital heart defect.
Well,
he had undergone a heart transplant.
Did you go to a doctor and get him checked out?
Ms. Dooley, I don't think...
Yes, ma'am. He had the finest care available. So please don't imply that by any means.
Something you didn't do.
Wait a minute. Hold on just a minute.
Now you're out of line.
You know, exactly.
Well, out of line. If that boy had been better taken care of, and I...
Wait a second. Now, I want to say something here. Nobody's blaming you for the death of your son. You shouldn't be blaming Lori for the death of her son. That's nuts.
I'm not blaming anyone for the death. I'm blaming the man, the drunk driver that killed my son. That's who I'm blaming.
Well, then the thing is, why didn't you better protect him? If you're saying, you know, it's my fault because of the medical condition...
How dare you say that I was responsible?
I can do. You know, it's the hand that God deals you.
Lori, if you had...
You have to accept that.
I understand, but if you hadn't been smoking during your pregnancy, your boy would have been healthy.
Ma'am, I don't smoke, and I have never smoked, and I've never drank in my life. So don't make assumptions that aren't true.
Yeah, can I get on? Ms. Dooley, quit trying to lay the blame of this woman's child on her. Nobody's trying to blame you for the death of your child.
Well, of course you wouldn't blame me. I didn't kill my son.
What? You know, what you have to do is you have to set a good example for the children you have left. What kind of example would it be for my other son if I just got angry at the world and went out and did everything and nothing was my fault, I could do whatever I want because of it? That's the example you're setting for your children. And sadly, if you keep doing that, your children are going to wind up on the other side of the law like you are now.
Did you use thalidomide for morning sickness?
No, ma'am, I did not.
You come on with this.
Ma'am, I have never taken a drug in my life. I have never smoked a cigarette in my life. I have never had a drink in my life.
Have you taken aspirin? Have you
Will you forget about what caused her little boy to die? Her little boy died, that's bad enough, okay?
You just have the blame everybody else syndrome. It's not your fault. And that's not right.
Well, if you're saying that it wasn't your fault, then yes, you are fully within your rights to take that rock and throw it through the windshield of the doctor.
Ma'am, you are not.
No, you're not.
So anyone who've you ever wronged in your life,
Mr. Henry,
you didn't tip your paper boy enough. That gives him the right to throw the paper through your picture window.
I'm saying, Mr. Henry, you don't have a right to be in this conversation. Lori and I are talking. We've both buried children.
Wait a minute. I have to...
Excuse me.
No, he has every right to be in this conversation.
No,
he invited us to discuss this.
Well, he doesn't know what he's talking about, though. He thinks...
Well, you know when you continually accuse me of things that you know nothing about. But I didn't call to argue with you because I know the loss you feel.
Oh, of course. Thank you.
I called to tell you... Well, you know, I called to tell you that it's... Your actions, you still have to live for your other children.
Okay.
You can't forget your son, and I'm not saying to do that.
I understand, but let me just ask, did you tighten the cap on the bleach bottle? Did you?
Will you get off that kick?
Ma'am, I think you just have some issues that need to be dealt with, and I honestly, I'm honestly scared for your other children.
Did you use a trampoline or anything when you...
All right, forget it. Forget it.
Yes,
forget
ma'am. I smoked crack jumping on the trampoline with my Jim Beam bottle.
Well,
yes,
that's
ma'am.
Well, that's why your boy died then.
Okay, see, if that makes you
man.
Feel better, I did all that. You really
yeah.
are out of touch with
yeah,
reality, ma'am.
Yeah, absolutely. I think she's insane from her grief.
I beg your pardon.
Well, I think the things you're saying... All right, Lori, thank you for your call. 1-800-449-8686. Here is Cheryl. Cheryl, go ahead.
Hi, Ms. Dooley. First thing I want to say is I have lost a family member due to a drunk driver.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I do understand your pain.
Thank you. I need you
mm-hmm. to understand something, honey.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
In life, we still have laws, ethical things we are required to follow. No matter what our pain is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now, if you are as far as your pain...
Can I interrupt the caller for a minute? But, Ms. Dooley?
Yes.
Could you are saying,
I'm sorry.
Okay, it's... Go ahead, Cheryl.
I'm sorry. Ms. Dooley, I just need you to understand something, honey.
Mm-hmm.
You need to understand that you are responsible for your actions.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody else's.
Oh,
if this lady pulled in front of you without a turn signal, she's responsible for her actions, but she is only answerable to the law, not you.
No, I take full responsibility for my actions. And
then
I admit to the court that I did drag the knife along her car. But
okay, then you are therefore subject to whatever the courts say that you have to do.
Mm-hmm.
By threatening the courts, and I know you don't feel it's threatening, but if I tell you, if I say to you, Ms. Dooley, if you step on my foot, I am going to knock you out.
I don't understand.
Or Ms. Dooley, if you step on my foot, you're going
to
be very, very sorry. Do you not take that as a threat?
No.
Therefore, by you saying, if you give me community service, you're going to be very, very sorry.
It's like this. For them to put me in an orange jumpsuit and work on the community service, they might as well just squat over my son's grave and relieve themselves.
Okay, can I make a suggestion to you? This idea just came to my head.
Mm-hmm.
Use a temporary hair color.
Mm-hmm.
Change your hair color.
Yeah.
Wear sunglasses so nobody recognizes you.
I just have my hair done.
A temporary hair color will not affect you, but I will tell you something,
mm-hmm.
honey. I want you to know one thing. I can
1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show is back.
Whatever the reason, Bobby Dooley joins us here on The Phil Henry Show, and we're talking about, are you right now at a bingo tournament, and so I don't want to keep you.
Well, we're having our bingo tournament, Phil, for our floor prize tonight, which is the Alan Worsen banana yellow pantsuit, which is the grand prize of our bingo tonight. And so, obviously, a lot of women have turned out for it.
Okay, you can still talk?
Yes, I can.
I mean, keying someone's Mercedes-Benz because your son died...
I didn't key her Mercedes-Benz because my son died. I keyed her Mercedes-Benz because... You have to understand something. She's some slut
You don't know that... Why do you call her a slut? Why?
She's a blonde in a candy apple red Mercedes with the big, big hair. Okay? And to run a Swiss Army knife along the paint of a 2005, or whatever it was, a 2004 Mercedes, is liberating for a lot of women. We have it's taken so many years for us to get to where we are today. And
what are you telling me now? It's some women's liberation thing? Are you telling me?
I'm telling you that it's liberating for a woman to be able to exact revenge against that prototype slut that's out to steal our men. Yes.
All right, let me go to Eileen. Hello, Eileen. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Bobby Dooley.
Yes, sir. I just wanted to say to the young lady that we should not take the law into our own hands, that a threat to someone's life in Texas would be a felony, which is a penitentiary offense. Threats to on airplanes or to the president are real serious matters these days.
No, I didn't threaten the president or
I just say that is a serious, even more serious, but to threaten a person's life, not even to touch them.
Yes.
Just a word can cause you to be in a third-degree felony to a penitentiary. Now, have to trust in divine retribution and not take the retribution into our own hands.
I've never seen that.
Excuse me?
No, I didn't hear you. What did you say?
I was saying that we have to trust in...
I started to key women's cars when I was about 16.
Yeah,
when a whore walks out...
You
did
it how long ago when you were 16?
Yeah. And
you did it recently.
No, I did do it.
Wait a minute. Is this not the first time you've keyed a car?
No. The point I'm trying to make to Eileen is this is a new day of liberated women.
Oh, women.
Oh,
we've always been liberated, honey. You just didn't
Eileen. When the whore walks out and sees the scratches on her car, she knows she's not going to take your man.
Madam, you better watch who you're calling names because is such a thing
as any blonde that drives a red Mercedes Benz, I can tell you, is a
shit-sharing
whore.
Well, wait
she's
just a
rich,
minute.
She doesn't have to be the other word.
That's exactly right. You know what I'd like to know from you,
I've had Thunderbirds and other cars, and I happen to be a Christian mother. I would resent someone judging me on the type of automobile I drove.
Well, a Thunderbird is quite different from a Mercedes-Benz. But let me just say this. When I saw that woman, and I knew that my son had died a year ago, I decided to take a handful of dirt and put it into her gas tank. And let me tell you why. When you're 16...
Did you do that, too, plus keying the vehicle or knifing it or whatever you want to say?
Yes, I did. Well, look, Eileen,
you did both of those things?
When you were 16...
Ma'am, you know what that is?
What?
Excuse me for interrupting, but that's pure D vandalism.
No, it is not. Look, when you were 16, Eileen, you had to go out and key a horse.
Do what to a horse?
Didn't you key horses back in your day?
No, ma'am. I owned one, and I treated it nicely and paid the stable to keep it.
But let's say you didn't make a turn signal on your horse on the trail.
I'm afraid he didn't have any, my dear.
Well, what did you
do? He was not electronic. He was a real...
No, but did you use hand signals on horses so that when you're going down the trail... And
this is ridiculous, ma'am. You don't need... You got horsepower, but not horses.
I understand that.
The turn signals are in vogue since... The electronic automobile horses came a long time before Mr. Ford invented the automobile.
I understand that, but when you were riding a horse down the trail and there were horses behind you or some were coming inbound, did you use a hand signal to let the other horses know?
Ma'am, you never heard of such a thing as a hand signal on a horse. You had one hand on the bridle and probably the other with the whip or whatever.
All right, I'm not familiar with horses, so you didn't...
We're talking horses and horsepower.
Well, what about if you wanted to turn and there was another horse coming inbound?
Ma'am, where'd you get on horses?
You mentioned that you used to own horses.
Yeah, but you brought up horses.
Well, no, but I'm saying... Yes, I brought up horses because I said you can't key a horse. And you said, well, you owned a horse. And so, well, that's interesting because... When you are traveling outbound on a horse, and there's
you can brand a horse
traffic.
If you don't go around keying them. I think you would. That would be mistreating, abuse to an animal.
Oh, I see. So searing it with a hot iron, that's okay. But keying, it's abuse.
They do brand
Jesus.
Them.
Jesus.
They
Wait
brand
a minute.
Them, ma'am, but that is for a purpose.
They brand them.
Well, I find that very
to
inhumane.
Prove ownership.
How
the
did
automobile
you know?
Gets a license. And
what did you use for at night
that proves ownership?
When you were riding a horse at night, what did you use for headlights?
Ma'am, you don't ride horses at night as a rule. I rode mine in the daytime. Otherwise, we had street lights. I didn't ride back before electricity. I'm 74, but electricity was here when I came along.
Well, let's say they had to, you know how they say, go into town and get Doc or whatever those people did. Now, that might be a
Do time. What?
You know, if a woman was pregnant or sick, and it's 3 a.m, and you've got to go into town and get the doctor, you have to ride at night, so you had to have some kind of street lamps or headlights.
What are you talking about?
Ma'am, if you're riding a horse,
what are you talking about?
No, you don't use your eyes. You could sit there asleep, and that horse would take you. His eyes are your lights. Sorry about that.
So in other words, you never use turn signal.
Will you get off the turn signal thing and headlights on horses? And I didn't key them. I branded them.
Sir, my T-Bird had those sequential ones that go bing, bing, bing.
Hey, when Jesse James came to town, did you get
mine
a good
Mine had three
letter?
Ways.
Isn't that nice?
Mine had triples.
You went three ways?
No, the turn signals were ding, ding, ding. You know, well, he knows what I'm talking about.
What did he do?
Sequential.
What's his name?
All right, get out of here.
She said she goes three ways.
She didn't say that at all, and I don't want to talk about any of it. You're bugging me, okay?
Look, Phil, she said she had a AAA on her horse.
No, she didn't.
What was that lady's name, by the way?
Her name was Eileen.
What do you call a... What do you call a one-legged lady?
Three ways with a horse, huh?
Word.
She went three ways with her horse. What is up with this chick? So she keys a car. Hey, Bobby, good luck with community service, baby, because there ain't no way you're getting out of it. Now, go ahead, send that letter. They'll give you like 100 hours instead of 40. You'll be picking up garbage, hypodermic needles, washing off the cop car, and you'll be lucky if you get home by 6. All right, so there's Bobby Dooley with her son died a year ago, so why can't I key someone's candy apple red Mercedes? And do horses have headlights, and what did you use for turn signals when the other horses were inbound? Did you hear that one? 1-800-449-8686, world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686, going straight to the hot place. The Phil Henry Show is back.
One night, not too long ago, a man was sitting around his garage with other men from the neighborhood talking about the world events. This individual proffered the point of view that Osama bin Laden may be influenced by James Bond movies. Maybe Osama bin Laden wanted to be a superhero or super arch-villain like the ones he saw in James Bond or in the Batman movies. His friends laughed at him, as you might expect, and he turned around and sued them. Let's listen to this man's story, Stephen Bozell, on how he wants to sue his friends for making fun of him to the point where he cried because he believes Osama bin Laden wants to be Lex Luthor.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
Stephen, all I got to say is you need to grow up and get a life. You are a lousy father suing your son for, you know, laughing at you. Sir, I am laughing at you derisively. You know,
the word is derisive,
you know. You know, you're an idiot. You're an idiot. You're wasting everybody's time. You're wasting the court's time because somebody laughed at you and you didn't like it, and you want to go get the FBI to put you in a protective witness program. You're an idiot.
Well,
you're an idiot.
Your argument is all name-calling. My argument is based on law.
Your argument is based on
idiocy. I can sue as a result of someone infringing on my free speech.
You know what? I'll tell you what, pal. If you came after me, I'd go after you and your lawyer. I'd own your house and she'd be disbarred.
Yeah. What are you going to sue me for? What'd I do to you? See?
You know, I say if I was one of those guys in your garage.
Oh, they can't touch me because they were on my property when they did it too.
Yeah. Well, you know what? You're a loser. You're a loser.
Really?
You're wasting everybody's time.
Okay, fine.
With stuff. Why don't you grow up and get a life?
I care about
Why
my country.
Why don't you grow up and get a life? I care about my country
that's
too. You're a poor example. You're sending a very poor example to your son.
No, I'm teaching him how to step up and stand up for himself.
Poor example.
I was in
you're
my workshop.
You're an idiot father. You're an idiot husband. And this is not the way to give your son an example of a man and what men do. You know,
hey, you know
what? Big enough
if you want to be sitting there when bin Laden comes for your wife and kids, you can just sit there and keep on watching TV,
I'm
going to be doing something about it, okay?
Well, you know, we're
guys like you,
about it.
You're the kind of guy that'll sit there and snore right through a home invasion
burglary. You don't like what they said.
Yeah, you know
you're
what you do?
Sue somebody because you don't like what they said.
You want to throw
down? That's a very immature attitude. You need to grow up, pal.
I wouldn't be talking smack to a man who's, you know, I sound like I'm probably younger than you.
Yeah, I'm 59.
Yeah, well, you want to throw down with me, that's fine.
You know, you're an idiot.
I'm an idiot.
And you know what?
Yeah.
Everybody,
you say that word. You know how to spell it.
You know, everybody's laughing at you on the air.
Hey, no, they're laughing at me off the air. I'm the one that's on the air. They're laughing at me off the air. What?
No, I'm laughing at you on the air. I'm laughing at you on the air.
Yeah, but they're laughing at me off the air, not on the air.
Huh?
What are you talking about? They're laughing at me on the air. They're not on the air.
Everybody's listening to you and laughing. They're saying, what an idiot.
But that shows you you're an idiot.
You know, you're crazy. Why don't you do something with your life?
Okay, gentlemen.
No, he's an idiot.
No. Just listen, it's name-calling, okay?
Look, I was in my workshop working on a magazine rack I was making out of balsa with my wife, April, with a Freddy Krueger mask come on up behind me, and she goes, I'm the Al-Qaeda, ooh, like that, making fun of me all the while.
So what, are you going to sue your wife, too?
When I care about my
country... Are you going to sue your wife, too? You're suing your son. Why don't you sue your wife?
Would you sue your wife for that, sir?
Why don't you sue your wife? You're suing your son. Why don't you sue your wife, too?
Would you sue your wife, Mr. Bozell?
I will discuss it with my lawyer. Yes, sir.
Oh man!
Oh,
dude.
You gotta be kidding me! You are
at
you're
least,
a loser.
I don't know what else to say. I don't have the right to discuss it with my wife. Okay.
No. Are you gonna sue your wife?
I want to discuss
yes,
with.
Are you gonna sue your wife for coming up behind you in a Freddy Krueger mask?
Why don't you go kiss my bear? What is that?
I don't hear anything.
Oh, okay, very funny. Okay. Why don't you kiss my bright red rosy, huh?
Hey, Mr. Bozell, I can still hear your campfire. Mr. Bozell? I can still hear your campfire, man, when you're trying to be alone, huh?
Shut up!
Oh, come on, man, I'm fooling around.
Quit it. All you people out.
Hey, Steve.
What?
You figure Bin Laden lives in caves because he wants to be Batman?
You could kiss the devil's private area.
Bill Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
I work in an open kitchen. It's a deli. We make everything from scratch. It's in a grocery store.
Okay.
And the customers can see every single thing that happens. If you come back from a break and you don't wash your hands, they see it. Every single thing you do there is being watched by the customers, and I think it's a great situation, and the food we put out is very healthy and clean, and I'm very concerned because your guest seems to not be in a state where he can even properly staff his business so that the facility gets cleaned.
No, but you're missing my point. I said to the other guy, he eats in 5-6 restaurants a week. He doesn't care if he eats a cat sandwich so long as it tastes good. Now, I would ask you, if you work in a full-service deli, and I imagine the owner's Jewish?
No.
Because I figure he'd want to cut costs. He would be...
Wait. So far in my program...
What?
So far in my program, you know, the Chinese guy this, the Mexican that, the Vietnamese that, and now the Jewish owner of the deli wants to cut costs.
I don't understand.
Well, if you don't understand, I'd like to have the racial references and the ethnic references... At a minimum.
All right, let me rephrase. Suppose whoever owns your deli brought in a cat carcass and said, I want you to sell...
Actually, we're an employee-owned business.
Right. Well, what if the guy who is the managing partner, let's say, said, let's start serving up cat because who's going to know the difference in our Philly cheesesteaks? You know that...
I know what goes on behind the counter in the kitchen, and we do not serve cat. We only serve... The highest quality
what are you laughing?
And produce.
You know, you laugh about it, but you can understand what I'm saying. The money you can save. Look, you know the Philly cheesesteak sandwiches, Phil? You've had them.
Yeah, I've had them.
You know the little bits of beef that they call that steak?
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Well, I fail it.
Look, you go to a place and they say, yeah, you want a Philly cheesesteak? I go, yeah, sure. What do you mean? What do you mean steak? I know the cheese, but what's this? The steak is the little strips of beef. I'm going to tell you this right now because I've heard it from at least two independent sources. Most of the Philly
Philly cheesesteaks. We make that. We have that on special. And I see that the meat comes from Oregon Country Beef.
Is
it's grown
steak?
Right here in Oregon. It's free-range meat. It's fresh.
I
see them cut it up and cook it. And I can feel good about honestly telling our customers that our food is fresh. That it's healthy, that it's not going to make you sick.
Most of the Philly cheesesteak sandwiches sold in America are some version of cat meat. You think your deli's so great because you serve right in front of the customer. Customers don't know the difference between a scoop of tuna or a scoop of stir-fried dog. They wouldn't know, oh, yeah, you want a tuna sandwich? And you could be digging into a pile of, you know, it could be someone's hamster. So what I'm saying...
Look, this is absurd, and it all takes the point off of what we're trying to talk about. And this lady thinks you're mentally disturbed. You shouldn't be running a business because, you know...
I'll bet you that at least 40% of the time your Philly cheesesteak sandwich was beating around a rubber mouse before you bit into it. Are you blowing your nose on the phone, into your hand, or what's going on there?
I was using a tissue.
All right.
And okay. I think that you really...
Yeah.
Need to reconsider your life. I mean,
no kidding.
Obviously, you have a lot of problems, and I think that running a business right now is obviously too much for you to handle if you can't properly staff your restaurant.
Well, ma'am, I will say this.
You seem to be a very, very angry person, I would hate to be somebody that has to work for you.
I think there is anger there.
Well, I think it's a heck of a world where a man is accused of being mentally disturbed because he objects to you piling a bun high with cat meat. Go ahead and pile it high and deep.
Bill Hendry Show.
Comedy Gold.
Bill Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
When was your last pork chop inhalation? These are the questions I ask myself. Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Still good.
Well, we seem to be at cross purposes here. What happened to my... is my guest on? I just heard the Art Bell music. I'm completely frightened now. I'm not just confused, I'm scared. We'll get Mr. Finneen on line one. And Mr. Finneen, you there?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I'm sorry, but I had a little bit of an engineering difficulty. Immigrants, you were saying, have had a difficult time. What, sir?
Well, immigrants have had a difficult time. Fortunately, it's not that difficult for me.
Now, you're from Egypt originally?
This is correct. It's because of where I'm from originally, there is a reputation that people from the Middle East are not people that you dismiss as you dismiss... the Mexican or Chinese or these different immigrants from different parts of the world. And
are you saying that being an immigrant from the Middle East, people may think twice about harassing you?
Yes.
Or challenging you?
Yes. I can give you an example.
Go ahead.
My family and I, which... I have a wife, a two-year-old son. My wife is pregnant with another child.
Congratulations.
Thank you. We love to go to this Death Street promenade, to go to shopping, to see a movie. We know that when we go to a restaurant, we know that they are going to find us a table, you know, immediately, even if there is a line, because they know that to be rude to a person from the Middle East does not carry. It carries certain risks.
That's an interesting statement. Being rude to a person from the Middle East carries certain risks. I think I know what you mean, but tell me what you mean.
Well, the people of this country, the people of America, there's no consequence when you threaten, for instance, a Mexican. There's no consequence when you threaten the Canada man or the China man. But in the back, the minds of America, there's no consequence. When you threaten a man from the Middle East, a Muslim man. When you threaten a Muslim man.
I want to ask you, are you saying that if I were rude to you in public or wherever, you would consider a violent act against me? Is that...
No.
Is that what you're saying?
No. If you could just... if you guys shut your mouth, I'm trying to...
What did you say?
If you just... Just to shut your mouth for a moment. I want to... I wanted to...
Generally, that's considered a rude statement.
No, but I'm saying the Middle East people who come to America, Americans now know they cannot be rude to them to get their kicks, to have fun without consequence. There is no consequence.
Yeah. Yes, but Mr. Finan...
You know, I was driving on a freeway, not long ago, driving on the freeway, not 2 weeks ago, there was this man who was driving. I don't know, he looked as if he was a very fast car, a sports car. He wanted to come into my lane, and he was weaving through traffic. But when he looked at me, and he saw that I was a Muslim man, I could see he put his foot on the brake. He backed away. And he, you know, eventually got in the lane behind me, where, in fact, he belonged. But I was excited to know that this was a smart American, not one who was out there, you know, asking to try to...
All right, look, Mr. Finan, do you take pleasure in making Americans afraid? Because you're a Middle Easterner. I'll tell you why I ask you that. If you were to strike the same fear into people, say, at an airport, you would never get on the plane. They never let you on the plane.
Yes, but... The other side of this argument is that that would be then is profiling.
And wait a minute.
Because I've not done anything wrong.
No, but wait a minute.
I've not done anything wrong.
But you want to look intimidating. You want to strike fear.
You are speaking to me of problems. The U.S. authorities have. I'm not interested in their problem. They cannot profile me. But of course I am aware. People see me. What of my wife? What of my child? They're not so eager to push us around because we're Middle East.
Okay, hold on for a minute. 1-800-449-8686, because I want to bring up something that you talked to my producer about. We're talking with Raj Finan. He is a businessman. What is your business, sir?
We own the clothing business. We have apartments. We have...
You have some real estate?
Yes. That's true, yes. We have... and export-import, you know?
Okay, the export-import business?
Yes.
You told our producers a story off the air that almost verged on a little bit of bad taste. I mean, having to do with your son...
No, it's not bad taste.
Well, did you use your son to make people afraid?
No. Please shut your mouth. I was with my wife. And
Sir, when you say that you'd like me to be quiet, that's fine, but to tell me to shut my mouth is considered rude.
But please let me say, I was with my wife and my son. We were drinking these snow cones, and we were playing this game. My son would say, "Daddy, I dare you this. Daddy, I dare you that." I said to my son, "Well, I dare you to do this. I dare you to do that." I said to my son, "Well, I dare you to put your backpack on, with it facing front, and to go into the store to see that what the man does, because this is the way these matters in Palestine." Have to wear a backpack. And my wife sat in the car so we could see this, this Cold Stone Creamer.
All right. You told your son to put a backpack on the reverse way.
Yes.
Because it looks the way the suicide bombers look in Israel?
Yes, sir.
And you did this for fun?
No. My son did not have a bomb. My son...
But you wanted to make it look like your son had a bomb... So he put his backpack on reverse, walked into this store, and you wanted to see the reaction of the man?
Yes, the man, you could see that this what in this country, look as he was going to defecate in his pants, you know, and so this is what, for me...
To me, that's the height of bad taste to use a child to make it appear as he's a suicide bomber.
But this is the reason why my Americans are going to treat me with more respect, because to disrespect a Muslim man is to risk... A certain consequence, you see.
And this has made your entry into American society easier?
Oh, yes. This story, this is bad for Muslims in this country. It's not true at all. That's just those people. Mr. Penn, Mrs. Robbins, we don't mistreat it. America, we're not because America is afraid that we are mistreated, as we will make this terrorism.
Okay, I'm having... You got a thick accent, sir, and I'm trying to understand you. But the gist of what you're saying is...
We are not mistreated. I'm not saying America mistreats this Middle Eastern people.
You're not saying we mistreat Middle Eastern people?
No, because Americans do not dare. Because we have shown that you don't treat Muslim men, Middle East men, with disrespect.
All right, do you have family here?
Yes, I do.
And where are they?
They're there in San Francisco. And this also plays into what we're saying. But my brother moved to San Francisco with his wife, his two daughters. And I confess, we did this thing, what we thought was funny, to watch the action of Americans.
What was it?
Well, we went to this Golden Gate Bridge, you know.
Right.
And we took pictures, and the different pictures of the Golden Gate Bridge. Americans think this is terrorism. You know, to me, this is funny. And it also is important, because then Americans are not going to...
All right, wait. You went to the Golden Gate Bridge with your brother and his family to take pictures of the Golden Gate Bridge because Americans think that's what terrorists do. And you thought that was funny.
Yes, this way. Because, you see, Americans, they get nervous. And
what possible fun can you get out of this?
Okay, because you've not... You know, you're not listening to me. It's to let the American people know that to be rude or to disrespectful of a man from the Middle East carries great risk.
To be rude or disrespectful of a man from the Middle East carries great risk. All right. 1-800-449-8686. He's got a very... it was difficult for me to understand him, but his point is this. You may talk about Mexicans, this or that, but Middle Easterners, you don't get rude to them to their face because, you know, and it sounds to me like he's using 9/11 as the tacit threat. Now, he mentioned that he put his son's backpack on his son backwards so that the backpack was in the front. That's exactly the way the suicide bombers in Israel look like. And he sent him into a store so him and his wife could get a laugh. 1-800-449-8686. We're talking with Mr. Raj Fanin. He is an Egyptian immigrant here in the United States. He is a clothier. The family owns real estate. They're doing very well here. And he says the Americans treat him very well. But one of the reasons why they do is because Americans don't dare mistreat a Middle Easterner for fear of, quote, the consequences, end quote. 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Shock and awe meets your radio dial. Henry Show is back.
1-800-449-8686. Raj, hold on here for a minute. 1-800-449-8686. Mr. Raj Fanin, a native of Egypt. He's an immigrant. You call yourself a... when I say you're an immigrant, I say that with the greatest of respect. You come from the Middle East, which you say is a plus because people are intimidated a little bit by Middle Easterners. Before we get to a couple of phone calls, I wanted to ask you, don't you want to be a good neighbor? Do you want to influence people through fear? You know what I'm saying?
No, you know, it's not, this is not a message that, is a message that I can, you know, understand, because it's just...
Well, what's to understand, rather than make your neighbors afraid?
No, I come from Middle East. I come from Muslim country. And the way that we deal with the problem of our neighbor is to let them know I'm a Middle East man. You're not going to to intimidate me. I don't know if this American, when you say, do I want to be a good neighbor? I am a good neighbor. But you will remember that you will not be rude to me because I'm not a Mexican.
No, you seem to intimate that Mexican people get pushed around.
But they let themselves be governor. They let themselves be pool boy. They let themselves be taco boy. This kind of thing. You're not... This lady lived next door to us in her townhome. She asked my wife, move your car from the back wall because she could not move her car. And I went to her and I said, I'm a Middle East man. Now you want to ask me to move my car? And she said, I'm sorry. I must have the wrong house.
No, she didn't.
Yes, she did, because she knew. Oh, yeah. She knew. You don't. We are very proud people.
All right, hold on. 1-800-449-8686. Elizabeth, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Raj Fineen.
Hi.
Yes, ma'am.
I have a few things I'd like to say. Number one, if this guy were my neighbor or came in to see me or saw me on the street or whatever, and if he were rude to me, I would be rude right back. I don't care what
kind
he is.
Be careful.
And he does. Hey, I'm not scared of you. And and you come from a, excuse me, let me
you
finish.
You have to be careful.
You come from a country where rudeness is a way of life. Well, you know what? You're now in America where rudeness is not a way of life. And you should be very thankful that you can come into this country and own real estate and a business and everything else and be able to speak the way you speak without being afraid of losing your head.
I grew up
in a military family.
Please shut your mouth for a minute.
I traveled through Egypt. They were extremely rude, and not just to Americans, but to anyone. So I'm not afraid of you.
Well, you want to treat me as a Mexican. You can't do this.
I'm not rude to Mexicans either, but I'm rude to anybody. I don't care what nationality they are. If they're rude to me, I will be rude back.
Mr. Fineen, are you
And you telling me to shut up? You shut up.
I'm asking you to shut your mouth so I can finish.
You shut your own mouth.
No, but please shut your mouth so that I can
finish. No, I'm not going to shut my mouth. That is a rude way of asking me to please be quiet and make so you can make your point.
Mr. Fineen,
but you need to be a little bit more polite to me if you expect me to be polite to you.
What, do you see how you are afraid? I can tell in your voice. It quivers like you're a child. So
I'm hardly a child. I'm just so angry at you right now that I am just trying to hold back my anger.
Let me jump in here. Mr. Fineen, first of all, Elizabeth makes a very good point. Saying shut your mouth is an idiom in our country and in our language that is rude. You may say, may I say something? Could you be quiet for a moment? Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes. No. You don't understand.
No, I'm trying to tell you that the phrase, please shut your mouth, is rude.
But you won't shut your mouth.
But he didn't say please.
But
all he said was shut your mouth.
No, but you won't shut your mouth. You continue to...
Well, no, I'm not going to shut my mouth because I don't want to listen to anything you have to
say.
Why
don't
you shut...
You're
rude, and you know what? Go back to your own damn country.
Why don't you shut your mouth and listen to a
man? No, I'm not going to shut my mouth. You speak in a polite way, and then I will stop speaking.
This is typical of Big White Cracker Lady. That she is...
What do you mean, Big White Cracker Lady?
What makes you think I'm white?
You're kidding, right?
No, I'm asking you, what makes you think I am white?
Because you won't shut your mouth.
Oh, that has nothing to do with it. For your information, I have Cuban heritage in me, and I'm not going to shut my mouth because you think I'm white. That is a racist comment, and I don't think how you can expect anybody to be polite to you when you are racist.
But you might be Cuban, but you talk like Big White Cracker Lady.
White cracker lady. You know what? Go back to your own damn country and learn how to speak English.
Why can't you shut your mouth to listen to
her? Please don't say
shut her mouth. It's a rude phrase, Mr. Fineen.
He knows it's rude. Anybody who has a business in our country needs to be a little bit more polite. I pity
you're
the people
Cuban,
that
you're,
he deals with.
You're Cuban. You're not America.
Oh, I am American. I was born in the United States.
If you're a Cuban, then no one is afraid of you. I would like to hire you to clean my home.
I didn't say anybody. You know what? That is just such a misconception. Nobody's afraid of anybody because of their race.
But you're a Cuban lady.
You're afraid of somebody because of the way they project themselves.
Exactly.
Maybe you project yourself as a threatening person, and that's what frightens them.
But
you know what? You can come up to me and stare me in the face, and I'm not going to back down.
But you won't shut your mouth.
I'm not going to shut my mouth. Why should I shut my mouth? This is my country. I was born here, and I have every right to say what I want to say.
If you're a Cuban lady, you can clean my home.
I was born in the United States. I am an American.
Can you clean my home?
Okay, is that a statement that you are making, sir, to provoke this lady?
I am saying to you, I'm a Middle East man. You can't push me around.
You're a Middle East idiot.
Because if you push around Middle East man, you know, things go kaboom, you know.
Is that a threat?
No, it's not a threat, but you know that this
is the...
That's
what you're saying. If I'm pushing you around, then you're going to threaten me by going kaboom? Well, guess what? You can play that game. So where do you live so we can hash this out?
My son wants to know, if you're Cuban, what does Babaloo mean? Are you...
Look, sir, we're having a conversation here to keep your son out of it. Elizabeth, I'm going to move on. Thank you very much for your call. I can understand the lady's indignation. I would ask you to refrain from the phrase, shut your mouth. It is considered rude. Here is Judy. Judy, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yes, hi. This is Judy.
Yes, ma'am.
And I have to tell you, that is the rudest man who has disrespected everybody in America,
ma'am.
And yet he claims to want our respect.
No, ma'am.
He wants to be respected, but he will disrespect us.
No, ma'am.
The man is an idiot.
Elizabeth
was absolutely right.
But you see, you will not shut your mouth to listen to what I'm saying. I have said, I'm a Middle East man. I'm not threatening anyone.
You are threatening all of us because you think in your silly mind that we are disrespecting you. You are doing things to provoke and disrespect us.
All right, Judy, hang on for a minute.
We are Americans, and we don't retaliate and
Judy,
do what you do.
Judy, hang on for a minute. I'm going to take a break, but you'll be first up when we come out. We have Raj Fanin on the line. He's an Egyptian businessman who says it's different for Middle Eastern immigrants because people do not dare insult or mistreat them. There are certain risks. Now, I'm hearing a guy threatening, you know, he just said, you disrespect us, things go kaboom. You heard that. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show is back.
Mr. Fanin, Raj Fanin joins us. An Egyptian businessman. You say you're in the real estate business. You say you also have clothing?
Yes, sir. Mostly a wholesale clothing business, as well as a different entrepreneur pursuits. But I wanted to say that Middle East man is not a bad man.
No, but you want him to look like a bad man. I got a caller hanging on.
No. Just please shut your mouth and let me say this.
No, sir, don't tell me to shut my mouth, and I want to go back to this caller. Judy is on the line.
But I want to make this point.
All right, but Judy, go ahead.
Yes, I want to say just one more thing to this man.
Is this the same
lady
that I was...
You are an absolute disgrace every Muslim in this country that is working hard and living a nice life in the American country. You're a disgrace, sir, to every Muslim that is doing that. And they are not like you. Thank heaven.
Could I ask you a question?
What?
You, look, if I say to you, for instance, Judy, do you have a daughter?
I'm sorry, we have a lot of interference.
Okay.
I can barely hear you.
Do you have a daughter? Do you have a little girl?
Do I have what?
A daughter.
A daughter?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
And my niece is married to a Muslim. And let me tell you, he does not.
You can ask him this question.
Disrespecting Americans, nor does he try to intimidate or threaten them.
He's not disrespecting.
He is a very nice person, and you're a disgrace
to
the Muslim race.
I would say to you, please don't have your daughter act like a field slut in front of my son.
Sir, you are a disgrace, and I am not even going to honor that statement. You are a disgrace, period.
You won't shut your mouth.
I am going to hang up. You are an absolute disgusting disgrace.
You are afraid of me.
I am not afraid of you, you little jerk.
If you see me sitting behind you in Anchorman, I see the sweat trickle down your neck.
If I see you sitting behind me, I would say hello if the occasion arose, and if we didn't make eye contact, I'd ignore you.
Yes, but
because you're not important enough
to be talking to an idiot any longer. I would say I don't want you to talk like a field slut.
Okay. Do you understand what you're saying, sir, when you say to a woman, is your daughter a field slut?
No. Please listen to me and please shut your mouth.
Don't tell me to shut my mouth anymore. I'm going to listen to you. Just don't tell me to shut my mouth.
Sir, I am simply trying to establish for my family, for my people, the Middle East people, that you will not push us around like you push around this Mexican like you push around these people here. Like you...
Not all Americans push around Mexicans. Maybe we don't have the greatest track record when it comes to immigrants, but by God, we got a hell of a lot of them coming here anyway, okay? And for you to say that, you know, you're going to intimidate me by calling my daughter a field slut, I'm going to tell you something. I'm not going to take that very kindly. Do you understand?
Yes, but you'll be warned, you see. You'll be...
What do you mean I'll be warned?
You will know that the Middle East man, I'm a Middle East man, okay? I'm not going to, you're not going to make jokes of me. You're not going to say, hey, look, there goes this camel jockey into my face. So if I say that your daughter is a field slut, it...
You don't say that my daughter's a field slut to my face and get away with it.
No, but you, I have to establish, see, you won't shut your mouth, you won't...
Don't tell me to shut my mouth. Let me go over to Nicole. Nicole, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Mr. Raj Fanin.
How you doing?
Yes, ma'am.
Well, I just want to make a comment to this Middle Eastern person that, again, this is America. You, and maybe in your country, you can intimidate by threatening. But you,
that's what
no, I'm not. I've dated Middle Eastern men, and you guys are a bunch of slimes. But anyway, hey, you guys have no respect. You cannot earn respect in the state of California. Hey.
Once you go Middle East, you can't go back. You know,
no, I'm actually married to a Mexican, and he's wonderful. So,
I think you're married to a Middle Eastern man, but we're getting off track,
and we're not. And what we're trying to establish is that you cannot.
Do you know the difference between a Mexican and a Middle Easterner? It's about 13,000 miles.
You do not.
Jesus.
Earn respect by threatening. If you
I don't want to say any kind of
a threatening thing. Either your son, if he ever came into establishment and I am there wearing a backpack, he's not only going to get his butt kicked by me personally, but I'm also going to call the cops, and then we're going to call the FBI, and then we're going to have an investigation on your family, and then we're
going
to deport your butt right back to your country for some reason why you left and came to our country for better opportunities.
You call the cops on a little boy who is wearing a backpack. You're so brave.
No, because, no. When we call the cops on a backpack on his blow the board, we're going to wonder why he's doing that.
What
and when he tells
what?
Us it's funny, then we're going to investigate the parents because we think that's poor parenting.
What did he do that's wrong?
You just said it's funny. And to instill a threat, you know, or a guise of a possible threat, you find that funny.
Yes,
that's
it's funny
parenting.
Look at this. I'm playing.
Why'd you come to our country?
This is my country.
No, it's not. It's our country.
I'm immigrant. Do you know that I can talk
to
you?
Why did you leave Egypt? Why are you here?
Because my brother is in business. He has a clothing wholesale. Nicole, people see me. They look at me with respect and fear. People see your Mexican husband. They say, how much is the lettuce today? This is the difference.
No.
Are you playing ping pong?
I have plenty of Muslim friends of Egyptian, Persian, and Iranian, and Egyptian, and I have I've never looked at them with fear. I come up to them, and if they give me respect, I give it right back to them. If
I
want to
ask you a question, Nicole.
I throw it right back.
I want to ask you a question. Are you playing ping pong?
Yes, sir.
Why?
This is what I'm trying to say. I'm listening to Nicole, but I'm also playing ping pong with my son, because I don't want Nicole to think that I'm hanging on her every word. But I'm not disrespecting her. I'm just slightly bored by her.
So you're playing...
slightly bored by your level of intelligence, but you know what? I'm trying to hang on.
But I play ping pong, you see. We have ping pong.
Well, I'm driving.
Well, you don't have to drive. I have to play ping pong, you see. So, anyway, if I see you, I'll say hello, Nicole. But don't disrespect me.
I would never disrespect something of any person on a first basis intentionally. That's rude.
Listen to me. I'm going to say this to you. It's going to make you mess your pants with fear. You ready? I'll cut you. You like that?
Okay, so what are you doing, man?
I'm playing ping pong. You don't... What's the problem?
What's the problem? You're talking to my callers and you're playing ping pong. You're going into some Western I'll cut you thing. Why are you playing ping pong?
Ping pong is very big, Egypt. Who the hell do you think you God, tell me not to play ping pong. Huge in Egypt. I'm getting ready for a big tournament. And if you tell me I'm not playing ping pong, you know what I say to you?
Oh, I know what you're going to say.
Man, I'll cut you.
Jeez, you almost sang that out.
Right. Okay, game, add in.
Later. There goes Raj, man. He was playing ping pong and telling everybody, you better respect me or I'll cut you. 1-800-449-8686. Dean Wheeler will be joining us next hour. You know, I don't know about you, but when I see a Middle Eastern cat, first of all, I don't know if he's a Middle Easterner unless the guy's got a towel on his head. Honest to God. I mean, the guy just looks like any other American. You can always spot Europeans and Asians, though, by the way they dress. It's got nothing to do with their race. The style of clothing is a dead giveaway. Generally, it's slightly off, you know. For instance, European men, even the straight men, dress as if they're gay. And Asian men look like they're trying to affect some kind of style, but it just ain't making it. And the Middle Eastern cats, that's a whole other thing, you know. But I don't look with great fear at any Egyptian or any...
What?
Will you knock it off with your ping pong, man?
I'm the grand champion Egypt ping pong club. Don't get up in my grill.
Grand champion of the Egyptian ping pong club. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
Get in there and make me some bean dip. The Phil Henry Show is back. Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
Well, I really wanted to tell Vernon that I think he's wrong, and I think he's an idiot, and I think that he is bringing his emotions to the United States against our president. That I'm a Democrat, and I did not vote for Bush, but
all right.
He is our president, and he is destroying our collective wishes that our president take care of Iraq.
Well,
Iraq has terrorized us, and we really should pay him back.
That's an interesting comment, Amy. Vernon, how do you respond to that?
Well, Amy, my feeling is if George Bush Jr. didn't spend most of his time in the self-help section of Barnes & Noble looking for heal the dada within books, we may not be on the brink of war. I mean, I
had to get Mama to change Georgie dirty, smelly diaper.
Oh, you're really belittling the president.
Well, Amy, don't you agree
with
that?
And I'm not really going to be participating, but thank you all.
Well, all right, ma'am. But just remember, when the president goes, boom, somebody has to clean it up.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
I have a 19-month-old and I have a 17-year-old. Would you like it if your 4-year-old was out there with a lifeguard that was sitting there flirting or talking to a woman and not paying attention to your child?
First of all, CPR is not everything that people says it is.
Let me ask you a question.
Okay.
When a child
I've surfed since I was
water,
10. I've surfed
yes,
since I was 10. So
CPR
I know how to swim. Don't you think
CPR does revive people.
Don't you think it's reasonable to assume that if a kid's got a bathing suit on, he's got some idea as to what, you know, that water, you know, like he knows how to float in it and
so
stuff?
Do you think it's reasonable, Ben, that your 4-year-old could be standing there and accidentally fall in the water and not realize that she can't swim in 6 foot of water and the lifeguard standing there talking to a girl?
Well, wait a second. If my daughter's in a bathing suit, obviously she knows how to swim.
Have you taught her?
Our country, President Bush has done more for our country than Clinton would ever do.
Are you kidding me?
No, I'm not kidding.
Are you crazy?
We had a man in office, Clinton, that lied on the stand, that swore on a Bible to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
Yeah, but no little kid drowned because Monica Lewinsky and him were grappling on the floor.
He died because of the fact that you weren't paying attention because you were too busy trying to get it on with the little girl.
Ma'am, I wasn't trying to get it on with anybody.
Well, let's be clear here if I could jump in. Were you making time with some chick? Is that it?
I was talking to a girl that was there currently at the pool, yeah. And I want to make the statement. CPR doesn't bring back the dead. Contrary to popular opinion, it doesn't bring back the dead.
But it can revive a person whose breathing has stopped momentarily, and you might have been able to revive that boy had you known CPR.
That is correct. I totally agree with that.
Well, that's what the lady's saying.
And I agree with her.
But you were too busy talking to a woman.
No, that's not why. Bush, if it would have been, if he'd made more jobs, I wouldn't have had to lie about knowing pulmonary
carcinoma.
I don't even know what it stands for.
You could have went to work at McDonald's.
Yeah, okay.
You could have went. You know
I'm going to go to work at McDonald's.
I work for a hotel corporation, and all these people out here that want to say that they can't find a job, that's a bunch of bull.
Well, what are you saying about
every day?
What am I supposed to do at McDonald's?
Excuse me?
What am I supposed to do at McDonald's?
You could be a cashier.
Are you telling me I'm going to stand there in one of those hats? First of all...
Oh, so now your pride's in the way.
Well, what...
Your pride's in the way.
I got a kid to support, okay?
Let me ask you...
I've surfed.
Your
okay?
Your pride wasn't in the way
I've when surfed.
You made that... Wait
what?
A minute.
What?
Your pride's not in the way when you made that four-year-old to pay child support.
Right.
So your pride should not be in the way to get a job to help pay and support that child.
It ain't about my pride. And also, how do you know I wouldn't have to lie on the McDonald's application? They ask you, do you know fry bin work? Have you had experience around fry bins and malt machines? No. And no.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
Yeah, those fry bins and malt machines, the danger. If you don't know CPR, man, you better know CPR to work at McDonald's. Some guy gets around a fry bin, you don't know what's going to happen. He may actually take a sniff of the food. I'm kidding, McDonald's. I eat there religiously. I do. And when I say religiously, I mean religiously. I eat there on Fridays, just as a protest against the Catholic thing. Which, by the way, I don't know where people get with that fish on Friday thing, man. We ain't had to eat fish on Friday for like 100 million years. They came along, one of them Pope councils, and they said, get out of here with the fish thing. Everybody went, hey, you're one of the mackerel snappers, huh? You're a mackerel snapper. Hey, dude, I mean, let's say, 21st century, does that ring a bell? No, man, I ain't no mackerel snapper anymore, okay? No more fish on Friday, thank you very much. No more Mrs. Paul's fish sticks, and no, as my mother's favorite dish, no more filet of sole. Filet of sole and halibut. Halibut and filet of sole. Yeah, actually, I had it better than most kids, but a lot of kids had the tuna salad thing. Oh, my God. I don't mind it in a sandwich, but at like a dish? By the way, I got something in Mexico that was fantastic. You ever tried tuna on a tortilla chip? Oh, my God, it's good, dude. It's real good. You go down to Mexico, you find some very interesting ways to have diarrhea. All right, now. You know what? Every time I get back from Mexico, God, I love that country so much. But I got to be honest with you. It never happens to me down there. You know what people say? I got sick when I was in Mexico, which that never happens to me. But when I get back up here, it starts. It takes me at least one time it took an entire summer for my, how should we say this, lower intestine to get back squared away again. A whole summer. Marie and I went down there in June. We went down to Puerto Vallarta, I think, in June. And for that entire summer, it was just not crisp enough, shall we say. I just don't want to, you know, I don't want to get too graphic, but it didn't really kind of, you know, a lot of times just come real firing out of there, just solid, and, you know, everything's, you know what I'm saying? It's kind of, it was kind of a lazy summer. And the same thing's happening again. And you know that feeling you get when you're sitting there, and for no reason at all of a sudden, I have to go to the bathroom. I can't. In other words, you can't even say goodbye to anybody because you no longer have the muscle control. You are suddenly aware of the fact that you're almost like 6 months old again. You're not wearing diapers. You've probably got hangers on or something, and you are in some serious need. In other words, every time Chris eats over at... I'm kidding, man. What's
true.
That sandwich shop we eat at, man? What is that place?
Quiznos?
Quiznos. Yeah, every time Chris goes to Quiznos, it's like, squirt. Quiznos is fantastic. I love their sandwiches over there. It took us a long time to find a good sandwich shop for the Phil Hendry Show while we work away the hours here putting our shows together. But Quiznos, we very much deeply believe in Quiznos. We also like Ruben's Red Hots up there on Ventura Boulevard. And thank God for Cheesecake Factory's, what is it, Janice, that we have?
The Cobb salad.
Yeah, the Cobb salad is out of sight there, okay? El Pollo Loco? Well, it's not Spanish for nothing. No, I had El Pollo Loco, and I said to myself, it ain't the chicken that's going crazy, man. You talk about spastic. It ain't spastic chicken. 1-800-449-8686, the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
1-800-449-8686, the world-famous Phil Henry Show.